Amen. Deuteronomy chapter number 28. We've been on a series that we've titled Blessed Beyond Belief. Blessed Beyond Belief. And if today is your first time of joining us, we want to welcome you specially. We believe that the Lord has brought you here for a great reason, whether in the church or online. And we just want you to key in into what the Lord is going to be speaking to us as a church. I'll read the first two verses. Deuteronomy chapter 28, I'll read the first two verses. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the world, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, as we go into your word this morning, we recognize that the word in here is not ours, it's not mine. It came from you, belongs to you. Therefore, Lord, we ask that you will speak to us today. Bring clarity, even as we dwell upon your word this morning. Let light shine from heaven. Illuminate every dark recess in our heart. Bring revelation. Bring transformation by your word. Anoint the ears and the hearts of your people to receive the word that you've got in store to speak to them this morning. Lord, think through me and speak your word to bring hope, to bring encouragement, to bring clarity, to bring strength to your people this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, and the church says, Amen. You know, when we started this series a couple of weeks ago, the desire of my heart is to see something happen to each and every one of us beyond just getting some information about some Old Testament book called Deuteronomy. I wanted God to use this messages to bring transformation into our heart that is going to actually reveal itself in the way we think, in the way we process things, and in the way we live. More importantly, in the way we live. And today is our third installment talking about this. You know, when we go to see the doctor, maybe when we're having some kind of fever or any kind of, condition. We come to the doctor with some expectation. And one of the things that we want the doctor to do is to write us a script. Some people call it script, others call it prescription. And we get disappointed if they don't give us scripts, especially if they just tell us, no, it's a viral thing, it's going to run its course and it's going to go away. We just want some paper. Now, when we receive the description, the prescription rather, there are certain information that is contained in the prescription. It contains information regarding the medication, including the dose. This is the name of the medication that you're going to use. It also contains information about how often we should use the medication, maybe once a day, or twice a day, three times a day, some of them four times a day. Interestingly, there are some that you need to take five times a day. And then it contains another information that tells you for how long you're going to take this for, 3 days, 5 days, and all those. Now, many of us don't struggle so much about, agreeing with the doctor to go and see the pharmacy to get the medication. Many of us don't even struggle about taking it, maybe twice a day like it's prescribed by the prescriber, by the doctor. Sometimes we miss it, but that's just because maybe we forget. The one that we have trouble with more or most is the issue of the duration, the cause of it. Because all of a sudden we discover 2 days after, when better, the fever has subsided. But the doctor said you need to take this for 7 days. And we're like, I'm okay. There's no reason to continue. Now, some of you are nodding because you are already, you know that you are you've done that in times past. Now, but the doctor has written 7 days because you are just not thinking the way the doctor is thinking. You are thinking in terms of getting the fever down. The doctor is thinking in terms of a total cure. You are thinking in terms of feeling better. The doctor is thinking in terms of not just feeling better now, but getting rid of the bug that is causing the trouble so that it doesn't raise up its head for a very long time. Because we've been told by doctors that sometimes if you take the medication for a fewer number of days than prescribed, you've just put the bug to sleep, you know, and very soon they're going to wake up again. So they want you to keep taking it until they sleep off to death, if you get what I'm talking about. Now, the reason why we struggle with that is simply because we're not on the same page with the prescriber. We're thinking, taking care of the fever, the prescriber is thinking of the cure. So we don't allow it to run its course. We don't allow it to run its course. This morning, I want to talk to you about what I've titled, When God's Blessings Runs Its Course. When God's Blessing Runs Its Course. And the reason for that is because I have discovered that what God is thinking when he blesses us is not exactly what we think when we are asking for his blessing. Many of us are like that patient I've just described. We're thinking in terms of the fever, but we're coming to a God that wants us to take this medication to last a particular course such that we're able to achieve a cure. When God's blessing runs its course. The reason why this is important is because it is important that for us to know what is in the mind of God when he blesses us. Why does God want to bless me? You know, we've been talking about the blessings of God, and we have talked about the fact that it actually goes through every aspect and every area of our life, from the spiritual to the mental to the financial to relationships and everything. Now, but the question we need to ask ourselves is, so why does God want to bless me? Why is God interested in blessing me? And I just want you to pay attention to what we're going to talk about this morning, because it may actually bring a revolution, complete revolution, to the way we have often thought about the blessings of God, or when we talk about the subject of God's blessing, the way we have thought that must be the what was in the mind of God the Father. Many of us may actually find out that we are completely wrong. Because the Lord wants the blessing that comes upon our life to run its full course. To run its full course. You know, James, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says in chapter number 1, it says, and let patience run its full course. Let patience run its full course, that you may be perfect and an entire, wanting nothing. 1 James chapter number 1 from verse 2. It says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why? Because knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Verse 4 says, but let patience, let it run its full course. Let it have its perfect way. Let it run its complete course, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, allow this patience that has come by way of faith to have its full, to run its full course. That word perfect means to have its full effect, complete effect. The same way the blessing of God is supposed to run its full course in our life, so that everything that was in the heart of God before he gave us the blessing would indeed be achieved. Now, this is the question this morning. What exactly is in the mind of God when he pronounces blessing upon you? What exactly is God thinking when he blesses you and when he blesses me? Now, I found a place in the Bible, I found a particular story that kind of gives a very vivid picture of what the blessing of God looks like, and more importantly, it gives a vivid picture of what God wants to achieve blessing you. Now, contrary to what some of us think, you know, the things that God is thinking about when he blesses us is not just getting you to a point where you are able to meet all your needs, you know. Some of us think the blessing of God is to make sure that, you know, I get my pound of flesh, you know. Let me just get that blessing and this guy will get to hear from me, you know. But that's not what God is thinking about when he blesses you and I. He thinks much more about other things that you'll probably be finding out, or some of you will be getting reminded about this morning. If you've got a copy of God's Word, I want you to open to Luke chapter number 5, and we are going to see this beautiful, beautiful story regarding a man by the name Peter. Luke chapter number 5, and there are four important components that are part of God's blessing that I just want you to understand this morning, because it's going to change completely your perspective of why God blesses you. Don't forget, we're talking about when God's blessing runs its full course. Look at Luke chapter number 5, and I'll read from verse number 1. It's a fairly familiar portion of the scriptures. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. This is setting the stage for us. Jesus came to a particular place, the lake of Gennesaret, and the Bible says he saw two boats there, and they were standing. The Bible says they were washing their nets. Basically, the reason why they were washing their nets was that they've already finished the job for the day. Unfortunately, they've caught nothing. Now, I want you to pay attention to this, because you're going to see how somebody that is zero will be translated in a short while to being her hero. This actually is a beautiful picture of the blessing of God. The blessing of God that causes the nets to break and the boats to sink. And you're going to see that in a short while. So, verse 3 says, then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little while from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Now, Jesus got into this boat. It was Simon's boat. What was in the mind of Jesus at this time was that he wanted to bless Simon. Now, Simon had no clue. Simon Peter, in this instance, had no clue that that was what was in the mind of Jesus. Now, but Jesus got into the boat. Jesus did not give Simon any money. Jesus did not give him anything that looked like a blessing. Jesus actually requested that he put his boat back into the middle of the back into the water, so that he could preach. He was going to use it as his own pulpit, as it were, to preach. And after Jesus has finished, don't forget, right from the word go, Jesus actually wanted to bless this man. After Jesus had finished, verse number 4, when he had stopped speaking, in other words, when he had stopped speaking to the people, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now, don't forget, these guys have actually walked overnight. We're going to see that in a short while. They've caught nothing. Jesus came into the scene and he said, can I make use of your boat? Now, this guy was already frustrated. He had come to work. He had made nothing. And that was the wrong thing. That was the wrong time to have, you know, started having a chat to a man that is frustrated. He's come to work. He caught nothing. Now, this man has a family. The Bible tells us that he's got a mother-in-law. And that means that he's got a wife. He's got a family to support. Now, but he's worked all night. He's caught nothing. And all Jesus was going to say was, can I make use of your boat as my pulpit this morning? You know, for whatever reason, Simon agreed, and Jesus had just finished, you know, the preaching of the word And Jesus wanted to bless this man. And he says to him, verse number 5, but Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets. Now, obviously, Simon felt, you must be joking. I am a fisherman. You are a carpenter. Jesus was the son of a carpenter, and for the first 30 years, he was with the Father, or at least in the business of the Father, and he started his ministry of preaching the gospel, of preaching the word, and at age 30. Peter had done this all his life. He was a professional fisherman, so he knew where the fishes were. If there was anyone that had some, you know, some qualification to be able to tell you exactly where the fish would be dwelling, that was going to be Peter. But whatever the case may be, Peter agreed that he was going to do exactly what Jesus has said. Look at verse 6. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. They caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Why does God want to bless you? And this is starting the course of his blessing. The first thing that we see in this place is what I refer to as reward. Church, please say with me, reward. God blesses you to reward you for your obedience. God blesses us to reward us for our obedience. Just like a good father will do when a child, his son or his daughter, has just done what he has asked them to do. He rewards them. That's how parents kind of reinforce, you know, good behavior. God blesses us to reward us for our obedience. Now, Peter has just obeyed Jesus, and Jesus has opened, if you like, the windows of heaven to bless him, because the Bible says the net started breaking. Now, this man had worked all night. He had caught nothing. Now, Jesus was coming, as it were, maybe in the morning to preach. Now, this was not a good time to actually fish. Those who are engaged in fishing will tell you that the best time to actually catch the fish will be at night, because that's when they will, you know, come towards the shore. It's that is quiet, and there is little or no disturbance. So that was the reason why these guys must have gone into the water at night, but they caught nothing. But here Jesus came and he said, you know what, Peter, put out the net, you know, into the water. And thank God Peter obeyed, because he caught a large, in fact, it wasn't just about the number, it was also about the size, because the Bible says the net started breaking. This must have been some kind of a one-time experience, because for them to have been using the net for all this year, we can safely assume that the net has actually not given them any trouble. So they will catch this number of fish that this net was able to handle. But this time it was going to be different. It was going to be what, if Paul was here, he would have said what he says in Ephesians chapter number 3, verse 20, exceedingly, abundantly, far above what we can ask or think. That was the kind of blessing that they have just received. I want to say to you, people of God, that God rewards obedience. The Bible describes God as a rewarder. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you were here last week, or you have kind of caught up with what we discussed, we spoke extensively about the reward of obedience, our obedience actually ties in with the blessing of God. How we access, if you like, the blessing of God by our obedience. So what God is doing here was that God was blessing this man because he has just obeyed. He has just done what, although appeared to him to be illogical, appeared to him not to have been in sync with what he was taught in the school of fisheries, if you like, but he still went ahead to do it. And that's the reason why God will bless you and God will bless me. Not necessarily because we understand the full ramifications of the instruction, but because we have chosen to obey all the same. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. So the first thing that we see here is that God blesses you in order to reward your obedience. Reward your obedience. That's what good fathers will do. Now, I know that there are parents who don't usually reward obedience, but they actually punish disobedience, you know. but I want to tell you that it is also a good idea to reward obedience, you know, because that will reinforce, you know, the action or the act, as the case may be. God blesses us in order to reward our obedience. But that's not all. The second thing I see in this place is found in verse number 6. Look at what the Bible says. It says, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets was breaking. Verse 7. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came to and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. When Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. I want you to pay attention to that word, O Lord, because that was not exactly the way this man addressed Jesus at the beginning. What I'm saying here is that God does not just bless us to reward us, he also blessed us to reveal himself to us. So it's not just about rewarding, it's also about revealing. God blesses you to reveal himself to you. All of a sudden, Peter had a revelation. And the revelation is that, oh, I've been calling him just master, but he's indeed Lord. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 4. When he says, the Bible says, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, look at that word, master. Master. The Bible scholars tell us that that word master is actually is a unique word, old Greek word called epistata. It simply means a commander or a leader. That was what Peter called Jesus at the beginning of the encounter. But look at it, what he called Jesus in verse number 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. So Jesus has just gone, in his own estimation, in Peter's estimation, he has just gone from being a leader or a commander to being a Lord. Somebody says, but what's the difference? The difference is you obey a master, you worship your Lord. There was a revelation. Peter has just discovered that Jesus was much more than the way he taught, from what he taught at the beginning. And this is what blessing, what God wants blessing to actually achieve in your life and in my life, if we will allow it to run its full course. It is not just to reward our obedience. It is also something that makes us to be able to come to terms with a deeper understanding and knowledge of who God is. In other words, God blesses you, God blesses me, in order to reveal himself to us, to gain a better revelation of who God is. In other words, your blessing, the blessing of God upon your life, if it's actually working to fulfill its full purpose, must bring a deeper revelation of who God is to you. You see what Peter said in that place? He said, I am a sinful man. I am a sinful man. What was Peter's sin? You know, I mean, Peter has not done anything wrong. You know, if you generally just look at it, I mean, he's actually just offered his boat to Jesus. But what was Peter's sin? Unbelief. Obviously, Peter did not believe what Jesus was saying about catching something broadly light in the midst of the water. Why? Because he has stood all night and he caught nothing. So that was why he came to Jesus and said, I'm so sorry, I'm a sinful man. Just go away from me. He has just discovered that the person he has been having conversation with was not just a master, was not just a commander, but this was actually a Lord. Because for some reasons, Peter was actually taken aback to discover that in the same water where he had toiled all night, somebody could say a word and then there will be not just enough fish to be caught, but more than enough fish, because their net was breaking. I am saying, people of God, that when God blesses you, God blesses you to reveal himself to you, and then when you see yourself within the light of his power, his greatness, then you begin to feel ashamed of your own sinful nature, of your own sinfulness. When the blessing of God comes upon our life, it is supposed to reveal his greatness. And in the course of us appreciating God's greatness, we will be able to see our own weakness. It is supposed to reveal God's glory, so that in the context of seeing God's glory, then we will understand our own wretchedness. It is supposed to show God's omnipotence, his power, such that in the context of seeing his power, then we will have been able to see our own limitation. This is the reason why God blesses you, people of God, and that's the reason why God blesses me. So it is not just to reward our obedience, it is also to ensure that we come to term with a deeper revelation of who God indeed is. The Bible says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. There is something deeper in God that you will not be able to appreciate until you come to this platform or pedestal of God's blessing. So the blessing is not just to make us to be so encumbered with ourselves, how good we are. It is indeed a revelation. It's supposed to help us to get a revelation of who God is. You know, oftentimes when we get a blessing from God, the first thing that naturally comes to our mind is, I must be really, really good. You know, I must be really good for God to be blessing me this way. What if the reason why God has actually been blessing you is supposed to reveal how good he is, not how good you are? Because Peter caught what he caught, not because of his own faith, but because of God's faithfulness. Not because of his goodness, but because of God's goodness. So the next time you are blessed, I want you to reflect on it and not just gloat upon yourself and say, well, I must be really, really very good impressing God with all these things, and that's why he's blessing me. Why don't you flip it over and begin to see his goodness? Because it is only his goodness that can bring about such a tremendous result to a man that has no faith, no confidence in what God, in what Jesus had just said. So we have talked about the first thing is reward. God rewards us, God blesses us. And his blessing is to reward our obedience. We've just talked about reveal. God blesses us to reveal himself to us. But that's not all. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 7. It says, we're still in Luke chapter 5, verse 7. It says, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. I call this reach or reach out. God blesses you not to just reward your obedience. God blesses us not to just reveal himself to us. God blesses you and I in order to be able to reach others, in order to be able to reach out to others. Now, when Peter got this blessing, the Bible says the net was breaking, the boat was sinking. So he beckoned to others, because don't forget at the beginning we read that it was not just only Peter's boat that was at the shore. There was another boat there, but Jesus entered into Peter's boat. And then when he had this massive blessing coming upon him, he had enough sense to call another person to come and join and engage and enjoy in this blessing. Now, this is what I'm saying, people of God. When God blesses you, it doesn't just have only you in mind. When the blessing of God comes upon you, whatsoever form or shape that the blessing of God comes, within that blessing is what I refer to as the transfer element. There is something about that blessing that has within it this transfer element, such that God wants to reach other people through that blessing, and that's why it has come through you. You know, it is often said that if God can get it through you, he will get it to you. In other words, each time God wants to bless people, he first finds somebody who, when he blesses, he will be able to transfer the blessing onto others. Because the truth of the matter is this. Not everyone is on the same page with God, but that does not mean that God hates them because they are not on the same page with him. God still loves them. God still loves the world. The Bible says he loves the world that he gave his only begotten son. I'm saying that anytime the blessing of God comes upon our life, God is not just thinking about you, people of God. He's thinking about others. Now, think about it. These guys, God or Jesus did not use their boat. But here they are. They are partaking in the blessing. And somebody said, no, don't call another person. I mean, let me just sit down and just enjoy this blessing alone. Because who knows, maybe it's not going to be enough. Did you see what the Bible says? The Bible says he called them and they brought their own boat. And then when the blessing came upon Peter's boat and it came upon the other boat, both boats were sinking. There was enough for them all to go around. I'm saying, people of God, this is it. Whenever the blessing of God comes upon your life, after thanking the Lord, the next question you ought to ask is, God, who else did you have in mind to have brought this blessing in my life? Why? Because he would never have thought about you and you alone. The blessing that God brings into our life is to serve the purpose of what we have talked about, but to go beyond that and reach out unto others. That's what he told Abraham in Genesis chapter number 12, verse 2. I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. That's the blessing of God comes upon your life. I don't care what sort of blessing it is. I'm not dwelling into the details because we have dealt with those areas of blessing in times past. But whatsoever blessing it is, whether at the level spiritually, whether at the level of your mind, your will, your emotion, whether finances, whether in terms of your relationship, whether in terms of your intellect, whether in terms of your achievement or whatever it is, you know, house, cars, business, you know, profit, whatever it is, God never intends that blessing will start and end with you. It is not, you know, the devilish trinity, me, myself, and I. It is supposed to be a channel to somebody else. You know, there is this beautiful story in the book of 2 Kings chapter number 7. This leprous, there was a great famine in Samaria, and things were really, really very tight, really very difficult, you know. Things were just not available. You know, even if you had the money, you couldn't buy them, you know. That happened to us not too long ago, not in terms of food, but in terms of toilet paper. You remember? You know, even if you had the money, there was no toilet paper to buy, you know. Now, but think about it in terms of food. It was so, so difficult, you know. And all of a sudden, I don't want to go into the story, details of the story. All of a sudden, God brought something about, and within 24 hours, there was abundance, but it was outside of the city, you know. And these lepers found themselves in there, in this place, and there was abundance. And then the people in the city were suffering. They didn't have anything because there was a siege around Samaria. And then the lepers, you know, got into the camp of the enemy. Obviously, God has chased away the enemy. And they started seeing, they saw food. They didn't just see food. They saw, you know, materials. And they started taking it. They started hiding it. And then all of a sudden, one of them came to his senses and said, it's not good what we are doing. It's not good what we are doing. Why? Because this blessing is not supposed to be just for us. We must go back to the city and tell them that there is something here. There is a supply here. You know the reason why God sometimes, you know, just singles you out in the midst of a crowd, in the midst of a community, maybe in the midst of a family. You know, and just bless you. The reason why he does that sometimes is because he has this confidence. God has this feeling that if I can just single this one out and bless him or her, he will have enough sense to be able to know how to channel it to other people. But unfortunately, many of us don't think that way. Many of us think in terms of it is my you know, resourcefulness, it is my intellect. I must be really good at this. And then we just sink everything. You know, it comes to us, and that's the dead end. This morning, I want to challenge you, people of God, that is not allowing the blessing of God to run its full course. The reason why God bless you is because he wants to reach out unto others. other people, other organizations. God blesses some people because he wants to reach the church of God, you know. And then when the blessing comes, they just keep it to themselves. It just comes and then they become the dead hand. You know, they become like the Dead Sea, you know, as it were. I'm challenging you, people of God. The blessing of God is not just a reward. It is not just for you to have the revelation, the deep revelation of God. It is also because God would ask the love of other people and he wants to reach them through you. But that's not everything. Now, this is the crux. This is actually, if the blessing of God doesn't get to this fourth aspect that I'm going to be talking about, then obviously that blessing has not been allowed to run its full course. Look at what it says in verse number 9. It says, For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. Verse 10. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. So you get the picture? So Jesus had just blessed Simon. You know, his boat was filled up. He had beckoned to other people. Other people are his friends. This was kind of a partnership, you know, kind of a business. And these were the sons of Zebedee, you know, James and John. They had come to him. And Jesus said, look at what he said. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. Now, when the Bible says do not be afraid here, it's not asking them not to do something. It's asking them to stop doing something. In other words, do not fear. Do not be afraid. Stop being fearful. These guys were already shaken. They were already afraid because afraid of what? They are not afraid of the fish. I mean, they have always been seeing fishes all their lives. They are not afraid that the fish is going to bite them. They are not even afraid that their boat is going to sink. They must be good swimmers. I mean, you don't get into being, you know, into this business without knowing how to swim, you know. That's why some of us don't go fishing, you know, because all of a sudden we discover that if something happens to the boat, what do you do? So these guys were not afraid of the fish. They became afraid of him, of Jesus. And this is not going to be the first time. You know, there was another time when Jesus was actually seen walking upon the waters and he came into the boat and he said, peace be still. And they said, what manner of man is this? Who is this man that speaks to the wind and the wave and they obey his voice? And the Bible says, and they were afraid. Now, the same way, they were afraid not just of the wave now, at that point in time, but they were afraid of Jesus who was now in the boat with them. So Jesus is saying to them here, do not fear. In other words, stop being fearful because they were already taken over with fear. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Listen, verse 11. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all. Church, please say with me, all. They forsook all and followed him. What? We've talked about reward. We've talked about reveal. We've talked about reach out. This is what I call recruit. Why? Because God blesses us in order to recruit us for a higher use, or in order to recruit us to follow him. Now, listen to this. Peter had probably never in his life had never been able to catch this massive, humongous amount of fish in his life. For the first time, he will probably be seeing his net breaking and his boat sinking, not because the boat was bad, but because of the massive amount of fish that he has brought on board. This is a massive blessing. And then when they came to the shore, you know what Jesus told them? From now on, you will catch fish. In other words, follow me. Verse 11 says, and when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. The reason why God bless you, people of God, the reason why God bless me, the end point of the blessing of God is such that we will be able to be recruited to follow him. In other words, if the blessing of God does not get you to a point where you want to actually move deeper and closer and more committed to him, that blessing has just failed the target. It has just missed the purpose. Because the purpose is not so that you can start sitting down to start counting fish and say, wow, this is a beautiful car. Let's just set up here and start selling. You know, that's not the purpose. The purpose is for you to discover that this man that is able to bring fish out of nothing, then there must be something much more than this fish thing in his life. It is actually an invitation. It is a provocation, if you like, to be called onto a closer walk with him. So when God blesses you, he doesn't want you or your face or your eyes to be covered with the blessing. He doesn't want you to be so encumbered with the counting of the fish. He actually wants to use the catching of the fish to get your attention. To get your attention to know that the one that actually supplies the fish, that can actually call forth the fish from wherever they were. I mean, Jesus spoke the word and then they were able to catch the fish. They were not there before. So where were this? Where were they before now? Jesus was using this to catch the attention of this man so that he wouldn't come closer to him and be a follower. The blessing of God, the intended purpose of the blessing of God, this is what was in the mind of the prescriber, the doctor, in this instance. You remember the story that I said, the example I gave at the beginning? The prescriber, this doctor, God, when he was given the prescription of the blessing, what he intended in his heart was that when this is going to be followed according to the pattern, onto the fullness of the course, it will bring you and I to a point where we'll be a more devoted follower of Christ. In other words, when the blessing comes upon our life, the end result must be to transform us to want to learn and to follow him more, to want to learn to devote our life more to him. And I'm not talking in terms of you leaving your job. I'm talking about a heart state that is more committed to following after the Lord. You know, the sad reality is that when the blessing of God comes upon many of our lives, or the life of many of us, it unfortunately takes us in the opposite direction. You know, by the grace of God, I have had the privilege of pastoring for some years now. And one of the sad reality is that the worship life of some people crash simply because there is a blessing that has come upon their life. That's when you don't see them in church anymore. That's when they don't engage with God's people anymore. That's when they don't find time to do anything that is related to God. Why? Oh, Pastor, you don't get it. I've just got this massive job, you know. This big contract. I can't even sleep. I mean, Sunday morning is when I catch up with sleep, you know. Why? Because God has just blessed them with something great. I mean, we have come across people who will abandon the faith simply because God has just blessed them with a beautiful baby boy or a beautiful baby girl. It's a blessing from God. The Bible calls children the heritage of the Lord, and the fullness and the fruit of the womb is reward. But unfortunately, that's what takes some people away from following the Lord. You know, they say, oh, look, I've just been married. You won't be able to appreciate how much stressful a married life is. Really? This is the same person that begged the Lord, Lord, just give me a partner, and I will serve you all the days of my life. All of a sudden, the partner has come and said, hello, Pastor, you don't get it. You know, this married thing, how are you guys working it out? I don't really have time. You know, she wants to talk to me all night, and I can't come to church because it's on Sunday morning that she talks to me about her things. Really? You know, oh, you don't get it, Pastor. There is no time more. Why? Because the blessing of God has just come upon the life. Now, Peter could have given the same excuse to Jesus. As a matter of fact, I was listening to, you know, what's his name? The pastor in the Pastor Evans, Tony Evans, great man of God, love and respect him. I was listening to him and he was saying something that I think we can all relate to. you know, he was actually preaching a kind of a message, and he was referring to what we were just talking about this morning. And he said, look, if he were actually in Peter's shoes, he wasn't sure that he was actually going to follow Jesus. You know, as a matter of fact, he would be asking Jesus, Jesus, are you kidding me? You follow me. Why? Because Jesus, this business is going to boom. You don't have to do any fishing. All you need to do is just tell us where the fish are. You know? That's we can laugh about that, but unfortunately, that's the way some of us are actually dealing with God. We want to use God. We want to use God to achieve our goals, our purpose, our intention. And God is saying, no. When my blessing comes upon you, it needs to run its full course. And its full course is that it's going to be a reward because you have been obedient. It's going to bring a revelation so that you know how big, how awesome I am. It's also going to have within it a transfer element such that you are able to channel this blessing onto others. But never forget, when it has its full effect, it must bring you closer to me, closer to following after me. Because the blessing of God, when it has its full, when it releases its full potential, is supposed to bring us into more commitment unto the Lord Jesus Christ. As I round up this morning, I don't know whether you have, some of you have heard this song, count your blessing, name them one by one. It will surprise you what God has done. I believe it. Count your blessing, name them one by one. It will surprise you what God has done. This morning, I want you to count your blessing, name them one by one. It will surprise you what God has done. But I want you to do a little bit more than that. By the reason of our understanding of what the blessing of God is supposed to achieve, it's not just to be counted. It's not just to be excited about it. It's not just to appreciate how much God has done. If that blessing leaves you where it met you, you have just wasted a blessing. If that blessing does not push you closer to your Maker, to following after Him, if that blessing does not get you to be more committed to the things of God, you have just wasted a blessing. That blessing has not fully achieved its purpose. It's similar to that patient who has got his fever sorted and he thinks that's the end of the world. No, the prescriber intends it to go deeper. That blessing needs to leave you at a pedestal that is better than where it met you. And not just because you are much more comfortable, but because you are now much more committed following after Christ. He says, and they left all. I love that word. They left all. So they when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all. See that word? They forsook all. They were not going to come back to that place again. They were not going to come back to the fish again and followed him. The question this morning is, have you ever been blessed? Have you been blessed? Or much more, did that blessing make you to become more committed to following after God? Or did that blessing actually took you away from him? Because if it did not make you to be more committed, you have just wasted a blessing. Let us pray.